And we got a lot going on this morning. We won't be long. And I say that, and I mean it. Doesn't mean it's going to be true, but I do mean it. Is everybody all right? Hey, if you're visiting with us, we want to say once again, thank you for being here. And man, you are a blessing. We are, put me a little bit in the monitors if you can. And we'll get going. People are getting in place as we have something special today. The Lord laid this on my heart here a few weeks back and wanted to do something and for a special day. As many of you know and probably seen this week, CDC guidelines have changed on COVID, and they've come to realize that even now you don't have to quarantine or all this other stuff. And the world has been, and the church especially, has been living in fear here for quite some time. But we're thankful to be able to gather back together in somewhat normalcy. And we wanted to do something on a friend day, and so we come up with Neighbor Day. And we're thankful that you are here. If somebody invited you to come, I want to say on behalf of them, thank you for coming. And we appreciate you being here with our church this morning. Today's just going to be a little different. It ain't going to be much. I'm still going to preach the same Bible. I'm still going to preach the same way that I normally do. We're just going to have an illustration that will be going on. It's not no production, so if you're expecting some great actors or anything like that, get that out of your mind. We just want you to have a visual, not only of the Bible, but I believe it's important that we understand the relevance of the story today. It's easy to read something in Scripture, and it's easy to pass it off as that's nothing more than something that happened 2,000 years ago. But to read it in Scripture, to see it in Scripture, and then have it play out in front of us in real life today, this is what we're after. If you know me, and if you don't, then maybe you'll get to know me a little better. But I love expository preaching. I don't like to run on a topic and the subject and this side and the other and run all through the Bible. I like to take God's word and rightly divide it just as God intended for it to be done. And so we'll be in one passage of Scripture this morning, which many of us are familiar with. If you're not familiar with the story, you've at least heard somebody mention the Good Samaritan. You may have even seen hospitals named the Good Samaritan or other nonprofits that are doing things, and they may even call themselves the Good Samaritan or the Samaritan Purse or whatever. But you have seen this, and no doubt in your life and in the world, and it stems from the story we will break down this morning. Now let me just go ahead and say this. This is the first of three. We're going to do this this week, and we're just going to break down a part of the story this week, and then we'll break down another part of it next week, and then the third week we will finish up our series on Luke chapter number 10. Now, I don't expect you to be able to read your Bible, and so we're going to have some words up on the screen for you to read. As far as the Bible goes, if you have a cell phone or something like that, you're free to look on your Bible app, and you can follow along with us. We do apologize for those that like to read their Bible. You can get out your little phone, and you can light up your page. If that's what you intend to do, then that's fine as well. But we will be in Luke chapter number 10 as we begin this morning. Eventually, when my iPad opens where I can see. So I'm with you, all right? All the older folks that says I can't see in the dark, neither can I, all right? And so I am with you, all right? But this morning, we're going to take a look at Luke chapter number 10. And Luke chapter number 10, as I've said, is a very familiar passage of Scripture. There's a lot in here, but we will stick with one particular instance and one particular parable, which we know to be the parable of the Good Samaritan. In verse number 25, I'll begin reading. The Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Boy, isn't that a question? I said, isn't that a question?
Oh, man.
I mean, let's just be honest about it. Most people want to know the answer to that question. Nicodemus wanted to know the answer to that question. The rich young ruler wanted to know the answer to that question. And here a lawyer is wanting to know the answer to this question. The Bible says in verse number 26 that Jesus answered him, and he said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" Boy, ain't that good? You're a lawyer. You should know the law. I need somebody to help me. I wish we could. I wish we could plaster this all over America right now. You know the law. How readest thou? Is everybody all right? We'll move on because some of you are mad right now. All right. Now, verse number 27. And he answering said, "Thou shalt." This is the lawyer answering because he knew the law. He was familiar with the law. He was an expert in the law. So therefore he answered and he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." Jesus answered him and said, "Hey, you did a good job. You answered this correctly." I'm going to get to this in a few moments, but I'll show you how Jesus was playing with him, toying with him, all right? But Jesus answered him and said, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." And of course, the old lawyer, being the prideful man that he was, the Bible says, but he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Who is my neighbor? See, he wanted to define the neighborhood. Let's pull a map out, Jesus, and let's mark it out and find out just exactly who's in the neighborhood. Because I don't mind being a neighbor, but I want to make sure I'm a neighbor to who I'm supposed to be a neighbor to. And I'm not a neighbor unto those I don't. Is everybody all right? And so Jesus gives him a parable. The Bible says in verse number 30, and Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho." Here we have a story of a man that is traveling from Jerusalem down 3,300 feet, 17 miles to Jericho. And the Bible says that as he traveled, as he journeyed, thieves fell among him. He was fell among by thieves. They came and they stripped him, the Bible says, of his raiment. They beat him. The Bible says they wounded him. The Bible says that they departed, leaving him half dead. That's something we look at and we say, and many of you got a smile on your face, but I'm fixing to show you, you're just as beat down as that guy is. So stay with me. I want you to see the Bible playing out. The Bible says that this man was on his way to Jericho. The Bible says he was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho because the difference in elevation was 3,300 feet from Jerusalem to Jericho. Go with me to Israel next year and you'll see it as we go down to Jericho. 17 miles from Jerusalem to Jericho. A route that would no doubt take him through treacherous lands of mountains and places where thieves were able to hide. The Bible tells us that these thieves fell among him. The Bible says that they took his raiment. The Bible says that they wounded him and they left him half dead. No doubt by now the lawyer's ears are perked up. The Bible says in verse number 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. This certain priest, as he was traveling, no doubt, he was doing the work of the Lord from Jerusalem and was headed probably back home. But when he seen this man in the side of the road, the Bible says that he passed by on the other side. Oh, man. There's a lot of people today that's still trying to not see what's going on in the world around them. The Bible says that he came and he passed by on the other side. He wouldn't have nothing to do with it. The Bible tells us that verse number 32, and likewise a Levite. The Bible says he was a little different. For when he was at the place, the Bible says he came and he looked on him and passed by on the other side. Y'all know the type. Guy that knows about that long. I'm going to go over here and say it over here. Y'all know the type, guy that knows about that long. Bible says they came by and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But verse number 33.
Yes.
Oh, I'm thankful for this one.
Yes.
The Bible says, but a certain Samaritan. As he journeyed, the Bible says, he came where he was. And when he saw him, the Bible says he didn't pass by on the other side, but the Bible says he had compassion.
Yes.
The Bible says that he went to where the man was at. He bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. The Bible says that he set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Bible says, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Jesus now asked another question, and he says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Good question. Today we're faced with that same question. As we look at the passage of scripture today, we see a lawyer. Now, this isn't a lawyer like you and I would think. He's not one that's going to be standing in court and arguing or debating on one side or another to a judge. When the Bible tells us that this man was a lawyer, what it is telling us is that he was an expert in the Mosaic law. He was somebody that knew the Mosaic law front and back, left and right. He knew a set of rules. Everybody look at me. He knew a set of rules. Can I say this? A set of rules will send you to hell. He knew a set of rules. That's what he knew. That's all he knew. And so he questioned Jesus concerning eternal life based off of his knowledge of certain rules. And so when he asked Jesus this question of what must I do to obtain eternal life, Jesus didn't give him the gospel. Jesus didn't tell him to believe on me and my resurrection. Jesus didn't give him the gospel. Jesus told him, he said, what says the law? Everybody with me? So the lawyer, everybody look right here because this is funny to me. The lawyer was the one that looked like the dummy. Jesus said, well, you're an expert in the law. This is what Jesus was saying. Let me put it in terms that you and I would understand. You're supposed to be an expert of the law. What does the law say you have to do to inherit eternal life? And he said, oh, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all the strength and all that. And he said, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said, sounds good, go do that. Everybody all right? Now at this time there were 600 commandments. Everybody look up here. And that Mosaic law, we know the Ten Commandments and we hear about the Ten Commandments. But if you go back in scripture, there were 613 commandments. And so Jesus says, okay, go do the first one. I need somebody to help me. This is where it gets good. Because the guy, he probably thought like the rich young ruler when Jesus told him to love thy God with all thy heart. He probably had the same answer, the same mindset as the rich young ruler. And he probably thought to himself, I've kept all these from my youth. But this lawyer, how many of you know when you got pride in your heart, you just can't let it go? And so he had this pride in his heart and he said, Jesus, and just who is my neighbor? If I'm supposed to do this, exactly who is my neighbor? Define who I'm supposed to like and who I can be mean to. I need somebody to help me. He says, define them for me. So Jesus gives a parable. And in that parable, he tells about a priest that comes. He tells about a Levite that comes. And in this lawyer's mind, when the priest come out and Jesus introduced the priest to this man that's beaten on the side of the road, that lawyer probably said, there's a hero. He's the one. He's the one that's going to come and be the neighbor. Because if there's anybody close to God, it's a priest. I need somebody to help me. If there's anybody who's supposed to be close to God, it is the priest. The one that is interceding for the people on the behalf of a sinful man. He needs to be close to God. I need somebody to say amen.
Yes.
But the Bible says he wouldn't even come up to him. He just passed by on the other side. Some priest. Sounds like our priest today. Is everybody all right? Then a Levite. This guy, he was Jewish born. He was a brother to that man that was sitting there, half dead. The Bible says he came and looked on him. Remember that long nose? He came and looked on him and then passed by on the other side. This was a man that by birth he was a Jew, but by him being in the tribe of the Levites, he ministered in the tabernacle and in the temple. At this time, he would have been ministering in the temple. This is what I'm trying to get you to understand is this. This was a religious man. This was a man just like the lawyer. This was a man that knew the law, and yet, the Bible says he looked upon the man and he passed by on the other side. Then the Bible tells us that there was a good Samaritan. That lawyer was probably thinking, man, if it ain't the priest, it's got to be the Levite. He knows the law. He would have taken care of that man. He would have been good to that man. Yet he passed by on the other side. So Jesus says, I got another one for you.
That's right.
There's a Samaritan. I need everybody to look up at me right now. Because as soon as Jesus said Samaritan, that old boy's hair stood up on the back of his neck.
Come on. That's right.
A Samaritan was a half-breed. He wasn't a full-blooded Jew. He had no right to eternal life. He had no right to God whatsoever. His religion was messed up. His race was messed up. Everything about him was messed up. He was an enemy. Why in God's name would Jesus bring the Good Samaritan into the picture? So Jesus gives him an illustration, a parable, and he tells him about an enemy that comes, shows compassion, and loves on a man who looks at him as his very own enemy. Cool Bible story. Come on, y'all, help me. Cool Bible story. Man, I love reading the Bible. I love reading the Bible. I don't like just reading through the Bible. I want to see it come to life. I want to see it come to life back in those days. I like to visualize and see it how God would have said it and how it would have happened back in those days. But then I like to take it and say, you know what? I don't live in biblical days.
Right.
I'm not walking 17 miles anywhere.
Right.
I need somebody to help me. Praise God. I got a motorcycle. I got a golf cart. I got a lawnmower. I'll ride a lawnmower before I'm going to walk. I'd be like, I'll fit in with everybody in Clydeville. So how does this relate to us?
Come on.
How does this come? How do we put this in our terms? I like this part of it. If we can, just for a few moments, let's look at today. Can I say this? We're all, every one of us, that certain man. That's journeying through life. Now in the Bible, that certain man is journeying from Jericho or from Jerusalem down to Jericho. But in our day and time and in our life, you and I are just trying to get through life. Everybody look at me. Quit looking at all that stuff going up there. Come on, come on. Now you can start looking at him here in a minute. But we're just going through life trying to survive. Coming up against circumstance after circumstance, just trying to survive. But there's thieves that are out to steal from us. There are thieves that are out to take from us. And those thieves, they come upon us at the most inopportune time. And they beat us down. They steal from us. They wound us. And then they leave us half dead. See, what you don't know, we read the story and we talked about the story and we illustrated the story. But that guy right there, that's me. That's me before I got saved. Thieves had come into my life, the world had come into my life, and it had beat me down and taken from me. They was people that came along, maybe it's your past that beat you down. Those thieves. Maybe today you're living with a guilt of your past. And it's beat you down and it's wounded you. And it has left you half dead. Maybe it's this word. Let's not even say it. Let's cover our eyes and act like it doesn't happen. Let's just look at everybody that's gone through it as if something was wrong with them.
Come on, Pastor.
Come on, preacher.
But the truth is this word right here has beat a lot of individuals down. Amen. According to statistics, 50% of the people that's been married have gone through at least one divorce.
That's right.
45 to 50% of marriages in divorce. And I need somebody to help me right here. Divorce doesn't just walk away and leave you okay. It doesn't just walk away and leave you alone. Divorce just kind of beats you down and it steals some things from you and it leaves you half dead.
Right.
May even bring you to a point of depression.
Yes.
There's people right here in our church.
Come on.
Had bouts with depression.
That's right.
There's times in my life where I battled depression. And it comes on you and it's a thief. Nobody else sees. I need somebody to hear me. It's a thief that nobody else understands unless they've been through it. You don't understand it. If you've never been through it, you can't understand it. But this thief, he'll come on you and he will wound you. He'll beat you down and he'll leave you half dead. And he'll walk right away from you. Something we can all probably relate to is disappointment. We've all had, that's this thief of disappointment. We've all experienced. We had expectations maybe of what our life was going to be. Expectations of what a friendship was going to be. Expectations of what a relationship was going to be. Only to find out it wasn't nowhere close. Disappointment comes like a thief out of nowhere. Beats us down. Steals from us. Leaves us half dead. Doubt. Oh, man, when you've gone through some of these things, you start to doubt your very own existence. You start to doubt whether you can even have a relationship. You start to doubt every relationship that you have. You start to doubt whether or not God even loves you.
Right.
Because the thief cometh but to kill and to steal. Satan comes and whispers in your ear that nobody will ever love you. Nobody can love you. You look at your life and what you've done. And you say, God can't love me. Look at what I've done. And doubt leaves you. Wounded. Mm-hmm. And half dead. People abandon you. People that said they would always be there for you. Somebody in the church that you made friends with and that they loved you and man, you had sweet fellowship and you read the Bible together and you prayed together and all of a sudden they just walk out.
Yes. Come on.
No reason. No phone call. They ghost you. I miss you. No response. I love you. No response. Walk out of your life. Leave you broken.
Right.
Beaten down. Half dead. Betrayal. Oh. This is one we don't talk about too much. This is one we hide from everybody else because the results of this one is bitterness.
That's right.
So we keep it inside. We don't let everybody know, but it's there. And it comes out and shows its face every now and then. I mean, even Jesus went through betrayal. He had to deal with Judas. And so even all of us have a Judas. I need somebody to help me. All of us have a Judas. And somebody that's come against you that said something, that's done something, that has betrayed you. You can't let it go. I know I'm talking to somebody right now. You know why I know? Because I'm talking to me. Don't leave you. carry it to the altar and say, God, I give it to you, Lord. Take this from me. And God, man, it feels like a burden's been lifted. You go back to your seat. You wake up the next morning and that guy shows up again. Constantly beating you down. Wounding your spirit. Leaving you half dead. Addiction will do it. Some of you has experienced it. Some have experienced on a level of alcohol. Some have experienced on a level of drugs. Maybe somebody in here is experiencing a level of pornography. But there's addictions all through this world. Those things make us depend. We bring our dependence from God and put it on them, and it leaves us wounded, half dead. I kept going, but let's just lump it all into one. If there was one thing that beat us down, if there was one thing that stole from us, if there was one thing that took things away from us, stole our joy, left us half dead, it's...
Yes. Yeah. That's right.
Come on.
I didn't put no specifics on it because for every one of us is different.
That's right.
For each one of us, yours is different from mine. Yours ain't greater than mine. Everybody look at me. Yours ain't greater than mine. It's just different than mine. It's not greater than mine. It's just different than mine. But yet it still works for the purpose of beating us down. Wounding us. And leaving us half dead. And in the society that we live in today, that certain man's laying there, that was us. And the old priest of the day, he's a preacher.
Yeah.
Come on.
He comes into our lives. Maybe he's a Sunday school teacher. Maybe he's a deacon. Maybe he's an usher at the church. He looks the part. I mean, he looks like he's got everything together, but the truth is he's no different than the man laying there. But too many times he don't want to get his hands dirty with somebody that's in the ditch. And so instead of helping somebody, he just passes by on the other side. He knows what he's supposed to do. He's carrying around the handbook.
Come on.
But yet, he doesn't want to get involved. Doesn't want to get his hands dirty. He doesn't want to. He doesn't want to come down to that level. We've all seen it. They post on social media all the time telling us how bad we are. I even had to tell them how bad I am. I thought by having the title of pastor that it'd take a little bit off, but no, everybody seems to like to talk about me too. And it's all right. Because if I'm not careful, I can be that same guy.
Right.
That guy, he's religious and he knows what to do, Miss Helen, but he won't do it. And then we have another person that comes around. Oh, y'all buckle up. Everybody put your seatbelt on right here. Spiritual seatbelt. Here comes the average church member.
Yeah. You're right.
Is everybody all right? They not gonna miss a church service. They're not going to miss an opportunity to pray for you. Gossip, that's what that is. Anytime you see me say pray, that's gossip, all right?
Right.
And here's what they've done, if you didn't notice. She came and looked upon him.
Yeah.
Can't gossip unless you know what's going on. I need somebody to help me. I mean, you got to, wait, let me take it back. You can't gossip unless you know a little bit about what's going on.
Right.
You ain't got to know the whole story, just a little bit about the story. And so the average church member comes and looks on him and says, ooh, you don't, do you know what, is it here? Here it is. Y'all ready? Here it comes. Y'all ready? Here it is. Man, did you hear about them? I was minding my own business. That's when you know it's a lie. I was minding my own business the other day, just going my merry way, and I happened to see them. Let me tell you where I seen them at. They were in the ditch. Strung out on God knows what. whining all over Facebook. I just think we need to make it a matter of prayer.
Yeah,
you need the prayer. But I'm thankful that Jesus didn't end the story there.
That's right.
Yeah, come on.
Because when I was laying there half dead.
Come on.
When I was laying there half dead and wounded because Satan had come and he had stole things from me and took my joy and took away things. September 28, 1997, the Good Samaritan came to where I was. And just like the story, he came to me. I didn't go to him. I wasn't looking for him. He came looking for me.
That's right.
And he came to where I was at. He came to where I was, wounded and hurt. Life in shambles. And he came to where I was at. And he loved me. He had compassion, though I was an enemy. Though I didn't want anything to do with him. My Good Samaritan came to where I was. My Good Samaritan. Jesus was telling them a story. But Jesus was illustrating something. There was a man in that story called the Good Samaritan. But Jesus was showing them a picture of what he would do for mankind when he came along his journey and everybody else was an enemy to Jesus. He had compassion and he came to where we were and he died on a cross for you and I so that he could pour in wine and oil into our mess and soothe our sufferings. That happened for me September 28, 1997. Jesus began my rescue story.
Yeah.
for that day in my life. I'm thankful that God would love me, that God would have anything to do with me for the mess that I was in. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible tells us God commendeth, or God proved his love towards us, and that while we were in the ditch, while we were beaten down and wounded, while we were left half dead, the Bible says God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What are you trying to say, preacher? Trying to say this is a church building full of people that's been in a ditch. Every one of us. Every one of us been in a ditch. Look at me. Everybody look at me. Every one of us been in a ditch. Say, preacher, not me. The Bible says for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Look at me. All. Say all with me. All. You were part of all. We've all been in a ditch. Difference is, for some of us, we've met the Good Samaritan. He came to where we were at. I like this. I wasn't looking for Jesus. September 28, 1997, I came to church because it was an ultimatum given by my wife. But I need, yeah, somebody said amen. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. I showed up to church because mama said I had to come up to church. And if mama ain't happy, nobody happy. God knew exactly where I'd be that day. He knew exactly where I'd be. 105 Carteret Road, Brunswick, Georgia. He knew exactly where I would be at the exact time that I'd be there. And while everything else, Brother Jesse, was going on around me, God was in my ear saying, I love you. He was in my ear saying, this is for you today. He was in my ear saying, I want to be a part of your life. That day, I met the Good Samaritan. And I found out that it wasn't about a set of rules. That's religion. I found out that it was about a relationship. Rules won't get you anywhere. That's why Jesus gave him the illustration and added the priest and added the Levite, because they were supposed to follow the rules and they couldn't because it was inconvenient. But the one that had no business to help, the one that was hated, came and showed mercy and compassion to the one in the ditch. Heads bowed with me this morning. Eyes closed with me. Listen, we put this on, and I know it ain't. I know it ain't Hollywood production, and we never had that in mind. I just wanted you to see it. I wanted you to be able to see with your eyes. I wanted you to know. Bring the lights up in the house, please, ma'am. This morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you were to die right now, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Say, preacher, I'm not sure. If I died this morning, if I'd go to heaven, this is what I want you to do. I want you to look right up at me. Make eye contact with me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to send anybody to you. Is there anybody that'll be honest with the preacher this morning? Say, preacher, if I was to die right now, I'd stay in the ditch. I do not have a relationship with Jesus. If that's you this morning, I want you to look right up at me. That's all I'm asking you to do. If you're in the balcony, just raise your hand. If I'm not seeing you, raise your hand where I'll see you. Preacher, I'm not sure. Is there anybody like that in the building today? Thank you, I see it. You can put your hand down. Is there anybody else? Be honest with the preacher. Preacher, I don't know. Listen to me, I need somebody to hear me this morning. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The Bible tells us, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I buried youngins.
I buried young adults, 20s, 21, 22. I buried them at 70 and 80. You do not know when your day is going to come. So if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I want to help you this morning. Lord, you've seen the one that's raised their hand this morning. Lord, there may be others, Lord, are holding back for whatever reason. God, I pray for the one this morning. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray you give them the courage, Lord, to step out and come to that Good Samaritan. Lord, we'll be sure to thank you for it. Head still bowed with me. If you raised your hand, I want to give you an opportunity to be saved this morning. If you let me do that, I'm right down front. Right down front. Wonder if you get up out of your seat and come to where I'm at. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. I ain't going to tell you what a religion's, I ain't going to tell you what a denomination's going to say. We'll show you from God's Word how you can be saved. You can lay your head down on a pillow tonight knowing where you'd spend eternity if you was to die. Would you do that? If you would, I want you to get up out of your seat and come right to where I'm at. Let me help you this morning. Praise God. Heads bowed with me. Anybody else? Anybody else? God wants to do something for you today. I can't do it. Listen, I was in the same place you are, September 28, 1997. I can remember it. It is a decision that you have to make. If I can make it for you, I'd run back there and do it. But I can't do that. It's a personal choice between you and the Lord. Wouldn't you at least like to know? Question the lawyer had. Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? A question that all of us has asked at one point or another. Why not get the answer this morning? Anybody else? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, for this morning. Lord, I thank you for our choir. I thank you for our time together. Lord, it's been a wonderful time of fellowship, of worship. God, we praise you for the one that's come forward. Lord, I pray that you would give clarity and understanding as the gospel is presented. Lord, we thank you today, Lord, for saving us and for loving us. To come in where we are in our ditch, in our hurt and our brokenness. Showing compassion and loving us. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, you continue to work in hearts. Lord, for those that are in the building that are saved, God, I pray that we'll see the importance of, Lord, getting involved in others' lives. For your word says that you answered the lawyer and said, go and do thou likewise. God, may we be a neighbor. May we help somebody that's stuck in the ditch. God, thank you for loving us. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you give a blessing to every single one of us that's coming to this building. We don't deserve it, Lord. But Lord, I pray out of the goodness of your heart and the grace, Lord, that you have shown throughout our entire lives, Lord, I pray you give them a special blessing, Lord, that they know it's just from you. Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the honor, glory, and the praise for it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.